like to add one individual to our prayer list. Cindy's mother, Kathleen Albright, was in the emergency room and then overnight in the hospital on Friday night. She having some blood pressure and heart issues, but she's back at Loving Care. We would just appreciate it if you would keep her in your prayers. Well, this is my last regular Sunday as the minister, and to me, more importantly, as a member of the Camden Avenue Church of Christ. I knew, of course, that this time would come eventually. I doubt if I realized when I came here that my tenure would go on this long for 14 years, but the time went by so quickly. Even 3 months ago or so, when I announced that I would be leaving, that time went by much more quickly than I could have ever imagined. Sometime in the early winter of 2004, I got a call from Paul Inman about the preacher search that was taking place here. The elders had decided that perhaps a good way to go about this was to speak with preachers that they knew, who also knew the Camden Avenue congregation, to make suggestions about those that they might be interested in. Brother Phil Greer, who grew up here at Camden Avenue, and I've known him since college time. I've been around Phil for many years. He went to Cambridge as I was leaving there, and he worked in Cambridge for about 13 years. And I had recently seen him, and I'd talked about my desire to go back working in full-time ministry. Although I'd been preaching every Sunday, I was also working full-time at Willowbrook. And so I had just mentioned to him that if I found the right work that I might be interested in it. And so he told them about me. And so Paul gave me a call and spoke about it. And I didn't really think that much about it. I knew Camden Avenue congregation for its wonderful reputation. I had not been personally interacting with the congregation here at all. And so I remember telling Cindy they will probably have preachers that they know already who will apply. And so I really didn't believe anything would come from it. And so in about 2 weeks, Paul called me back and he said, "Well, are you interested or not?" And I said, "Well, I guess if you're interested in me, that I could come and spend a Sunday with you." We came in on Saturday. Gary Harridge took us on the tour of the building. And Sunday morning, I preached. We enjoyed a potluck. Everybody stayed, and I was thinking about that this past Sunday. It reminded me very much of that first Sunday that we were here and where it had all started. I learned about some of the difficulties the church had gone through after seeing the trend at the time was to go in favor of young preachers. Well, I found out the quality about me that you were interested in was that I was older, 52 at the time, experienced and hopefully more mature as a preacher. Now, I'm not sure that you have seen me that way since I have been here, but we settled into a very good relationship and eventually became a part of the Camden Avenue family. That Sunday, I had been asked if I would teach the Bible class and preach a sermon on a topic of doctrinal importance of some kind. And I remember I spoke about the use of instrumental music in our worship. And then my Bible class was taken from the passage that we have read from this morning in Acts the 20th chapter. I wanted to share with you my philosophy of preaching. And I remember calling that lesson, "What on earth in heaven's name is a preacher?" And I have gained so much from studying the 20th chapter of the book of Acts as it came to understanding what the role of a minister is. As Acts 20th chapter, Paul is coming to the end of his third missionary journey. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. He wanted to, again, meet with the church at Ephesus, and he was not able to, but he was in a close location. He was in Miletus, and so he called for the elders from Ephesus to join him there. You know, Paul's time at Ephesus was as close, I guess, as any he had to being a located preacher. He had spent 3 years with him, And since he was not sure if he would have another opportunity to do so, he wanted to meet with them. He wanted to share some memories. He wanted to thank them, and he wanted to challenge them. The same things, really, I had hoped to do in my sermon this morning. Now, 14 years ago, I looked at this passage as a goal, a pattern for my work in the future. Today, I look back on it as a way to evaluate the work that I have done over the past 14 years. And so in verse 17, Paul begins, "From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I have always lived among you.'" In what manner, Paul said, that I have lived among you. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Dwayne Shears made a statement about my preaching. He said he lived what he preached, and that could be there could be no greater compliment given. I appreciate it, although I know that for me as well as for any of us, it has not always been true, but I have tried. I've said through the years that whenever I prepare a sermon, I prepare it first of all for myself, and then I share it with those in the congregation. Paul told the elders that they were to take heed to themselves and then to the flock. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, "Take heed to yourself and the doctrine, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those that hear you." And I guess that should be the objective of every preacher, is to save themselves and those that hear us. One thing I've never had to preach and then struggle to live is the genuine love and respect that I have for each of you and for my brothers and sisters in Christ and for this congregation. In verse 19, he goes on, "Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened unto me." Being with people during difficult times tends to humble you. When we came to work with the congregation here, several of our elders then were the age that I am now. And I saw them struggling to care for aging parents, to love and support and help aging parents. And then my turn came. I got a call one Saturday that my parents, who lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, were struggling. My dad had fallen. He was taken to the hospital. He was severely dehydrated. My mother, because of her dementia, could not be left alone. And so one of the men and his wife, who was an elder in the congregation at Carnes in Tennessee, stayed with her until I was able to get there on Sunday night. I left after my sermon on Sunday morning. I was gone for the entire week because I had to arrange for care for them, get them into a facility, take care of some other business matters. I was gone a lot over the next 2 or 3 months in order to sell their house and to clear out their belongings and settle their business matters. And I never heard a single word of criticism from an elder or from the church. I was told, do what you have to do. Within a year or so, my father passed away, and I brought my mother from a facility in Knoxville to Love and Care. That whole process took probably a year and a half or so, and I was so pleased for the love and support that my mother received from the Camden Avenue congregation. I'll always be thankful to you for that. And really, those years were a blessing to me, although she had lost much of her memory. She never forgot that she loved the church. And she never forgot that she loved her family. She went to her reward a year ago, the last day of March. And again, you gave us an outpouring of love. And even when I took my mother back home, I was able to be with a brother in Christ riding in the hearse along with her. Mike Wade was with me. And I thought it was so appropriate that I had brought my mother from Tennessee here, and I had the opportunity to take her back. But those are blessings. Now, Paul begins speaking about preaching in Ephesus. He mentioned in verse 20 how he kept back nothing that was helpful. But he said, I proclaimed it to you. And then verses 26 and 7, he said, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I've been told by some of you we never had to worry about your preaching. It was always according to the Bible. Well, the truth is I don't know how to preach anything other than the Bible. I have no authority to preach anything but the Bible. Paul instructed Timothy, preach the word. It was also mentioned to me that I had not backed away from controversial subjects. You know, one thing about the Christian religion that I find to be interesting is there are so many things that we say are controversial, but they're not. None of them are controversial at all in the Bible. It's true that there are many preachers who preach the truth in what they do preach, but they don't preach all the truth. They remain silent about some things that they should preach. Paul declared his innocence by saying, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And so if anyone has listened to me preach Sunday after Sunday for 14 years and not heard what you need to do to be saved, then your blood would be upon my hands. Preaching is not something that can be taken lightly. It's not about being popular. It is about pleasing God and preparing men to stand before him in judgment. And so if I have any sorrow, if I have any regrets about leaving you, it's the fact that there are several people here, both young and old, who have heard me preaching all of this time and have never obeyed the gospel. But you know, it's not too late. Every congregation that I have worked with after I've left, I've heard from the congregation the good news that someone that I had taught and loved and prayed for had finally obeyed the gospel. And I know that heaven, that the angels in heaven rejoice, and I also rejoice. In verse 24, Paul describes the joy and the ministry that he had received from the Lord Jesus. And I feel the same way about my ministry and about the opportunity that I have had to share the gospel of grace with you. I've used this text, the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, to speak to young preachers, preachers who were preparing to preach and just beginning the ministry. I have spoken to the Timothy Club up at High Valley several times, and I have also spoken to those who were in preaching schools. And I always choose this text. I point out that a preacher's work cannot be accomplished in 2 hours a week on Sunday. Paul said in verse 19 that he had taught them publicly and from house to house. A wise preacher told me when I was a young preacher, the preacher's work is not to prepare sermons and deliver them. He said a preacher's work is to prepare men and deliver them. Through the years, some of my most impassioned preaching has been done in living rooms and front porches and even sitting in cars. And if I could, I would love to spend a half an hour privately with anyone, everyone that is here this morning who has not obeyed the gospel. But at this point, of course, that would be up to you. Well, then Paul addresses the elders themselves about their work and their needs. Verse 28, he instructs them by saying, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You know, I've been privileged to serve along with 16 different men who have served as elders in the congregation here. I love elders. I've had a very close relationship with elders in every congregation I had that worked with that had elders. I remember when I came here, I think maybe I helped to develop that relationship a little bit between the preacher and the elders. After we'd been here for about 3 months, I asked them when I could start coming to the elders' meeting and make it an elders' preacher's meeting. And I found out that, that was something that had never been done here. I thought that was interesting. I was told that they never wanted to be a burden to the preacher. They felt like he had his work and they had theirs. And certainly in a lot of regards, that's true. But it's also true that we're on the same team. It's true that a minister learns things that he needs to share with the elders. The elders learn things that they need to share with the minister in order to work effectively for the cause of Christ. Brother Walter Morgan said, well, just because we never have doesn't mean that we couldn't or that we shouldn't. And so immediately I began for many years to be in every one of the meetings that the elders had. And we spent many hours together discussing the church's work and problems, praying together, planning together. A couple times it was mentioned whether or not a minister could or should also serve as an elder as well. Well, my opinion has always been that it is that if the preacher is an elder, then who will preach to the elders? You know, Paul did not hesitate to preach to these elders that he called to join him at Miletus. Now, there's no question that elders have authority in the local congregation, but their authority is only to the extent that they submit themselves to Christ's authority. He is the only head of the church. Some years ago, I read an article in a periodical that we get from time to time, and it was about elders, and it said, the title I thought was horrible. It said, "Elders Call the Shots." I thought it was a terrible and a misleading article from a man who had worked with several churches. None of them had really thrived. You know, the eldership is not about running things. Elders are servants, leading primarily through their love for the church, their Christian maturity, and their example. We are told of elders whose faith follow, so that Christians are not just willing to submit to them, they're anxious to. Now, it's true that Paul said that elders oversee the church, but we need to be careful that we don't become like a young teenage boy I heard pray one time, "Lord, be with our elders as they overlook the church." Well, there's two totally different meanings here. And there are times when Christians feel that they're being overlooked by their elders, if decisions are making that affect them and affect them greatly without even speaking to them, without even involving them in those decisions. Paul described the elders as being among the flock. You cannot possibly effectively lead a church if you don't listen to the church. Being an elder is not just about putting out fires from those who are disagreeing or object to your decision, but rather it is about knowing the members well enough to know their individual needs and struggles. Because the primary role of elders is to shepherd the flock. Jesus said of shepherds that he was the chief shepherd, and he said that the sheep knew his voice. They know the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd knows them and can call them by name. And it's a loving relationship. David described so well in the 23rd Psalm about caring for, meeting needs, being there, giving yourself to care for others. You know, if shepherds would spend their time in a boardroom making decisions for their sheep, when they came out of that room, the sheep would be gone.